Welcome back, folks. We have U.S. Representative Steve Scalise, who was just reelected to office, and we wish him congratulations for same. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Newell, and great to be back with you.
Steve, a lot happened Tuesday evening. I think a lot of folks were surprised by the breadth and depth of the win. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a historic night. I got to travel with President Trump and, you know, go to some of the swing states. I was in every swing state, and you just saw the energy. You know, you had Trump rallies. I mean, Sunday I was with President Trump in North Carolina and in Georgia, and, I mean, thousands of people inside packed arenas, but there would be thousands of people outside who couldn't get in, but they just wanted to be around the event. And, you know, you just saw this, you know, kind of force of nature that, you know, President Trump was talking about real issues that matter to people. And I think as everybody's trying to decomp and figure out how did it happen, how did Trump run the table on every swing state, seven swing states, Trump won all six that have been counted, and he's leading in Nevada. And he won the popular vote. And people that are trying to figure it out, to me, it's not complicated. President Trump was talking about the pocketbook issues that I saw everywhere I went. I've been in most states in this country in the last 2 months campaigning. Everywhere I went, people were talking about the open southern border, the high cost of food at the grocery store, the high cost of energy, and how do we fix it? And we were talking about specific things we would do to fix those problems. And the other side was talking about Nazis and racism and Hitler and, you know, and just almost insulting people as opposed to talking about how you fix the problems that are affecting struggling, hardworking families. So that's what I saw everywhere I went. I was not surprised that President Trump won, but it gives us an opportunity, Newell, to really go and solve these problems in January. And we're already focused on it. We're already planning what those first 100 days would look like in January to get our economy back on track. To produce more energy in America, which would be great for Louisiana and coastal restoration, to get regulations under control so you can, you know, run your small business without having to worry about federal agencies trying to shut you down every day, just allow you to play by the rules like every other country. Those are the sort of things that we're going to be focused on in lowering costs for families, getting inflation under control.
Wednesday morning, I was completely mystified because I turned on mainstream media and immediately they started with the isms, right? We were sexism, racism. And in my monologue that morning, I said it couldn't be that the general public's not ready for gender reassignment surgery for prisoners on the public dole, right? Couldn't be open border. It couldn't be public benefits for illegals that come into the country. It couldn't be the government standing between parents and their children. No, I don't think that couldn't be it. Exotic mandates that they've been issuing one after the other. Workarounds to existing law relative to student debt relief. How many times does the Supreme Court have to slap the hands of the administration to tell them you can't do this? And then, as you point out, the pocketbook issues. It couldn't be any of that. It had to be sexism and racism. And they're the ones that have been preaching to the Republicans about how divisive we are. Really?
And again, when you go to a Trump rally, for example, and they demonize President Trump in just ways I've never even seen, he's talking about uplifting things. People were very upbeat, positive. Like I said, like thousands of people lined up outside trying to get in who knew they couldn't get in, that just wanted to be a part of it. And, you know, you talk about the issues that we were focused on. We were not just talking about what people were upset about. We were talking about how to fix it. You know, how do you secure the border? You know, when Donald Trump would say, hey, you know, all these criminals that are coming into our country illegally, we're going to deport them. Well, man, you saw the left go nuts and, oh, you can't deport people. Well, guess what? We're a nation of laws, Newell. You know, let's get back to the rule of law. Let's for the million people we let into our country legally every year, we're the most generous nation in the world. So we're not saying we're closing down the country. We're just saying you've got to come here legally. And we're not taking everybody's prisoners from their jails, you know, which most countries are doing. They're releasing their prisoners and sending them to America. And they're committing violent crimes here against our people. This is lunacy. And the fact that the other side did not want to change that, you know, I think they paid a price at the polls on Tuesday. And so now we're going to go to work fixing those problems. And I think it's going to be encouraging to people. You saw the stock market do well, but I think you're also going to see people's pocketbooks do well too when they're paying less at the pump and their monthly utility bills are lower and they're seeing a more upbeat attitude when they deal with the problems and crime issues that are around their communities.
You get to hear a lot more of what's going on. I'm curious what terms they're using for the California voters that are predominantly liberal and very progressive. In fact, in progressive L.A., they voted out George Gascon, a progressive D.A. I wonder what they're saying about those voters. And in that same jurisdiction, they overwhelmingly approved Prop 36 to retreat Prop 47. They gave all kinds of favorable treatment to the, as you pointed out, offenders of the law.
Yeah,
are they xenophobic? Are they racist? What are they?
You know, the Mark Cuban, think about the Mark Cuban comments, you know, where Mark Cuban, and I was actually, you know, it was helpful to us that he did this because it just reminded people how hateful the other side was when he literally insulted half the women in America and said, oh, gee whiz, women in America that support Donald Trump are stupid. Well, guess what? They're not. And in fact, you know, I know Susie Wiles, who yesterday was, you know, made history by being named the first female chief of staff to a president of the United States. And she's incredibly competent and qualified. I mean, she was the co-chair of the Trump campaign. I was with her Sunday when we were going from, you know, Trump rally to Trump rally. And I've worked with Susie on a number of things. She's going to be a great asset to the Trump administration. And there's so many other qualified, competent women in Trump's orbit that have always been there, you know, and they make those kind of comments. And it just, I think they're living in such a bubble that they don't know what the real world is really like. They've been living amongst people that just talk like far left progressives from California for so long that they don't realize the rest of the world is fed up with it. The rest of the country, the smash and grab stuff where, hey, if you go into a Walgreens and you take $995 worth of stuff, you're not going to be prosecuted. Well, guess what? All the Walgreens in San Francisco shut down, so you can't even go get your prescriptions anymore, and it hurts those communities. And that was what was on the ballot. I was in California multiple times. We have a lot of races in California that we won on the ballot. But like you said, the voters of California even said enough is enough and passed that ballot initiative to say, we're going to end smash and grab. This is lunacy, and you can just go steal from any store and not get prosecuted. It's affecting everybody in that state. And they finally rose up against it and fired the DA, who was such a failure. You know, it was a Democrat who replaced him, but at least it's somebody who's going to prosecute criminals. And it's not a partisan thing. It's a common sense thing. And I think common sense prevailed on Tuesday, Noel.
Well, I'm glad to be called stupid if stupid is raising your children and thinking that you know what your children need better than the government knows.
Right.
You can call me stupid all day long, and I'm going to wear it as a badge of honor because I'm never giving up that right. I don't care what these people say. I know my children.
They want to try to convince your kid in school to get a gender assignment surgery, and they don't want you as the parent to know about it? Give me a break. You know, that kind of stuff was on the ballot. And people, like you said, people were watching that, and they were voting based on those issues.
If I could get you, you know, I keep hearing this threat to democracy, right, issue. And it kind of wears me out because when you talk about the workarounds that they've done and complete contravention and violation of the law in so many different ways, it's almost as if those are just suggestions. That the whole Federal Register is just a collective group of words that are just mere suggestions, and we're going around it each and every day. And we talk about, you know, the other side being a threat to democracy, but we don't ever look at ourselves in the mirror critically on that side. I mean, when you look at some of what they've done and what they continue to do and what they're trying to do now already, I mean, the next day after the election, trying to do things to tie the hands of the incoming president, this is ridiculous. I mean, it's childish.
Yeah,
I mean, we're playing child games.
Yeah, this is the United States of America. But consider the source. You know, the same people that were calling Trump a threat to democracy were the people that literally shivved Joe Biden in the back and threw him in the river after 14 million Americans went to the polls and chose him as the nominee on the Democrat side to run for president. What happened to that democracy, Newell? And so not only did they get rid of the democratically elected nominee for president, Joe Biden, they replaced him with someone who never got a single vote, Kamala Harris. And by the way, there's a reason she didn't get a single vote when she ran for president, because she was unpopular. You know, I was in states like Michigan, and blue-collar workers who voted for Joe Biden 4 years ago did not vote for Kamala Harris, not because they're racist. Those same people voted for Barack Obama. So how do you reconcile that? What they had an issue with is the fact that Kamala didn't relate to blue-collar workers. Kamala Harris supported the Green New Deal, which says your taxpayer dollars should go and give a $7,500 tax credit for you to buy an EV car that's made in China instead of a fossil fuel car that's made in Michigan. And thousands of people in Michigan were laid off because of those stupid policies that Kamala Harris supported. And then she wondered why she didn't relate to blue-collar workers. So they don't want to look in the mirror and say, gee whiz, maybe it's our policies, maybe it's the Green New Deal and these things we pushed that crush American jobs and crush American workers that people voted against. So we'll just call them racist and sexist. I hope they don't listen to the American voters, because we are, and we did listen to those voters, and we laid out an actual agenda for blue-collar workers, and they responded. And guess what, Newell? We're going to deliver for those families. We're going to actually bring really good common-sense policies that will lower costs for families. You're going to pay less at the grocery store. You're going to pay less at the pump and in your utility bills, and you're going to have a secure border. You're going to have a government that starts working for you. Trump brought in Elon Musk to start looking at right-sizing and making government more efficient. How about that? You know, that's something that's been needed for decades, to make government actually work better for the people of this country instead of for themselves. It's going to be so refreshing to see those kind of reforms proposed and then brought to the House and Senate floor to pass to the president.
Steve, as an American citizen, I sit here on a Friday at 11:21, and we still have races that have not been called. We'll figure this out in less time than we did last election. But this has got to be concerning, right? I mean, this is what happens in third world countries when you can't count votes. I mean, we can put people on the moon. We can shoot a rocket in the air and have it now land back on the pad on its own. We can do all kinds of things, but we can't count ballots fast for whatever reason.
Yeah, how embarrassing and it's frustrating. And this is what breeds distrust with people. And by the way, more than half of those races that have not been called are all in, you know, our favorite state of California. You know, California seems to mess everything up, but there's no excuse for it. You know, you had problems in other states like Florida years ago, Broward County with all the hanging chads. They cleaned up their mess in Florida. And guess what? By 9 o'clock on election night, the entire state of Florida was counted. And Florida's a large state. You know, Texas, another large state, was fully counted. There is no reason why California, you know, we've still got a number of seats, and a number of them are leaning Republican right now, but they still are waiting on more precincts to count. Like, why does it take so long? Everybody should be finished on election night. There's no excuse for it. And so, you know, this is a California problem. They have a lot of problems, but just basic counting of votes is one of them. You know, I think it's another sign of how proud we should be of our state. Louisiana had no issues like that, and I think it's really a testament to the, you know, kind of elections that we run, and we make sure that everybody has their vote counted. Nancy Landry did a great job as Secretary of State to make sure that with record turnout in Louisiana, and I want to thank the voters of Louisiana not just for electing me for another term, but for showing up in record numbers, whoever you voted for. The fact that we had a record turnout and there were no issues, Newell, we had our results by roughly 9 o'clock at night. You know, that's a testament to Nancy Landry and the qualified people that don't get a lot of attention at the Secretary of State's office working with all the clerks of our state. You know, because when you look at a state like California, where you still have all these races not counted, let's also remember a state like Louisiana that used to have problems, you know. We sent our elections commissioner to jail back in the 1990s. We cleaned up our mess just like Florida cleaned up theirs. And that's something we should be proud of.
you recognize those folks, because it really is something that we set the bar on in this country, and if more people mimic our processes here in Louisiana, we would be much better served, right?
Absolutely. And again, no reason that every state can't do this. You know, there are states that had problems, and I was in the state legislature when we confronted the problems we had. And they were, you know, they were not easy fights, but we did it. I've talked to the Florida legislators who fixed their mess, you know, after that Bush versus Gore race where they, you know, they literally had the U.S. Supreme Court need to step in and stop the foolishness that was going on in Broward County. And they finally cleaned theirs up, where now you have not only clean and fair elections, but you have the results by 9 o'clock at night. We have technology today. You can actually get this done quickly. And there's no reason for a state like California to still have all these races not resolved.
Yeah, it's just a level of incompetence that I just don't understand. And collectively, as Americans, we should be embarrassed by this. I mean, I just, and I don't know, you know, I fully embrace states' rights, and I would never want to move away from that. But, you know, at some point in time, we have to take ownership and responsibility for what we do and get it fixed, right? Execute.
Yeah,
for once.
Some sort of national standard, and having the results on election night should be part of that standard.
Absolutely. Steve Scalise, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations again on your reelection, and we truly appreciate taking time out of your busy schedule to join us this morning. Thank you, sir.
Thanks again, Newell. Great to be with you. God bless.
504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We will be right back with Andronika Morris from Housing NOLA when we return. Stay with us.